Welcome in to Fesco and Dusty.
I mean, come on, guys. What are we doing here?
A show that, analytically, exists between 6 and 10 weekday mornings on Kansas City's only FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Oh, buddy.
Live from the studios that brought you...
Hey, what's going on, man?
Here's Bob Fesco and Dusty Likens.
Comes from our buddy MJ on X. Dusty Likens couldn't even trouble himself to shave. I can already see his 4 o'clock shadow. Keep them coming. Keep them coming, man.
Oh, that's hey, good.
You deserve this. You made this bet. You got to sleep in it at least four nights a week.
Yeah. By the way, Chiefs play Saturday, 3 o'clock. Football's back, baby.
First Red Friday today.
Can't wait. Mac and Bob got the message. I did not.
Yeah.
I'm just going with like this Hawaiian theme because of the temperatures.
Oh, it's so hot.
So yeah. I have all these like awesome like Royals t-shirts that I've been gifted by wonderful people. And yesterday I wore one and our boy that came in, he goes, wow, that is a really loud shirt. I said, yes, it is. So today is another Hawaiian light shirt. It was 82 on my drive in today, man. It 5 a.m.
Yeah,
82.
It was so hot driving in. Yeah, I like the windows down, and I like the breeze in the morning. And I had it for a little. Heck, this is ridiculous.
I don't mind the windows down for a little bit, but then my face takes a beating, and I've got to roll the windows up. Because then, like, if you ever do that, I don't know if you guys ever done this, drive with the windows down. Then after like 5 or 10 minutes, or I'm sorry, 4 to 10 minutes, you get to roll them back up, and it just feels like your face is still being like ripped apart by the winds of the highway. Yeah. I don't know. But Chiefs play at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Don't forget, you can hear the Chiefs on 96.5 The Fan, and the Royals will be on 6:10 a.m. We'll send reminders via social media for all you wonderful people out there that follow us. If you don't, start now, The Fan 96.5 on IG, on Twitter, and I believe TikTok. So if you want to follow The Fan there, you can see all of our videos, Would You Rather Wednesdays, Chiefs Take Tuesdays. You can see Max Minute on there. Dusty Likens does Range Bait. All that good stuff.
Yeah, yours was yesterday.
It was, yep. Yesterday was a good one. We had a lot of people. And also, probably one of the worst golf swings you'll ever see.
That was...
That she decided to leave in the...
That looked like me swinging.
That was tough. That was tough. Here I come, big, bold take about hot weather's better. First swing. I don't know what happened.
I realized some of our difference in the hot and cold weather. I've lived in a place... for a while that cold weather is the best. I mean, the outside activities, you were talking about life and being outside.
Oh yeah. For you up there in Wyoming.
Yeah. I mean, the cold was when you got outside and it was my favorite activity is skiing. So it's probably some of that, what has to do with that as well.
Yeah. And you know, when I lived in Texas in, you know, 25 years ago now, you get used to not having winters. And I was only down there for two winters. But I tell people this all the time. I came back in 2001, 25 years ago, and I'm still not adjusted back to the winters.
Yeah.
You know, and I grew up on the East Coast where the winters were bad. You know, went to KU. It's cold. It's freezing. All that kind of stuff. Two winters away. And I still have not adjusted my body back, and it's been 25 years back. It's crazy how that worked for me. But for you, too, you have that experience out there with skiing and all that kind of stuff that's right at your doorstep. Absolutely. I understand why you would like that better. Yeah.
Mac was out there watching Josh Allen throw footballs for Dan Orlovsky.
Yeah, you really were, right? Yeah.
So the other thing, too, is like with those videos, I'm sure, Mac, you get these, too. You get, you know, direct messages, right?
For sure.
And Miss Kavanaugh decided to come out and use a take that you had. And she's like, I have a take about your hot weather take that maybe some other people don't have. And she says, I think we're all prisoners of the moment. Come, you know, middle of winter, like, God, I'd do anything for it to be 90 degrees in a swimming pool. Come the dog days of summer, you're like, you know, I wouldn't mind a freeze.
Only reason I want to freeze is kill all the bugs. That's the only reason,
and
right?
It's prisoner of the moment. I said, yeah, that was Mac's take. And the response was, Mac's awesome. Yeah. So like, the drops are working, Mac's man. Awesome. Speaking of awesome, football is back. It's Saturday, Chiefs-Rams at Arrowhead Stadium. What are you guys looking for? What are you watching? I'll be real quick with my response. Peter Woods, I'm watching him. I'm watching R. Mason Thomas. And I'm watching how they use the running backs. I know Ken Walker's not going to play, but DeMercado, Emmett Thomas, those guys, how they use that. Because even if the number twos are in there, they're still going to run the plays that maybe the number ones will run. So I'm trying to like watch a little bit of that. Outside of that, maybe we'll see what Justin Fields looks like. I don't know if that's really going to move the needle for us, but maybe we'll see how the legs look in a Chiefs jersey. And of course, I think the offensive guy that we're all looking at is number 13, Cyrus Allen, but that's what's on my docket.
That's a big one right there, Cyrus Allen. I think he's the guy that everybody's probably going to be watching in this game, right? He's got the most hype going into this one, sure. Right? Would you say? Probably
99.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, 13 and 99 are the two guys that are getting all the hype going
well
into this game.
Too,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I think everybody's going to be excited. I can't wait to watch Cyrus Allen. I mean, I hope this guy is a freaking stud out there. Like, what you hope, honest to God, is Cyrus Allen is making Worthy and Rice better as we sit here and speak, because what's all the attention been on this year? Cyrus Allen, right?
For the right reasons.
Yeah, for the right reasons, 100% Dusty. And if he goes out there and has a pretty good game in that first game, it's going to feed on itself. And I'm talking about on Saturday, even in a preseason game, Cyrus Allen goes out there and plays well, people will be talking, obviously, about Cyrus Allen. And so I think him doing well at this point of the camp is really good for the peer pressure, if you will, for the other guys that are, you know, playing that same position. But for me, for this preseason game, I'm looking for a couple of things. Number one, that Kling doesn't die on the sidelines. I think that's first and foremost the most important thing out there. It's going to be 1,000 degrees. So one, we hope Kling doesn't die. If he does go down, please somebody get him some water. Number two that I'm looking for, I just want to see the rookies play and how good they are. Obviously, we're not going to see Delane in this one, but I'm excited to see 99. I'm excited to see 13. I'm excited to see our Mason Thomas perform out there and do his thing. I kind of, you know, I'm not going to sit there and watch the entire game. I'll see highlights more than I will the entire game. Probably watch the beginning, and I got somewhere to be on Saturday night. But Nussmeier, I'm kind of interested and intrigued by. You know, I think he's a guy that long term is going to be the number two quarterback here in Kansas City. So I'm kind of excited to see what he can offer to the table.
Yeah, obviously the rookies, the young guys, are what we want to see. I want to see that battle on the right side. We'll see Khalil Benson probably start at right guard, but then he'll go to the right tackle. That is the one battle that we're watching in camp as far as starters are concerned.
Is that the only battle?
Yeah, unless you want to say like, oh, Peter Woods and Kyrus Tonga, but you know what Spax is going to do? He's going to start Tonga to start the season.
It's interesting
which is just
with that,
idiotic,
because...
but it is what it is. So it's the one battle for the start of the season is $10 million Jalen Moore or undrafted free agent Khalil Benson.
Yeah, and that is, it really is the only kind of battle. And look, I think it's differently though with the defensive line. Those guys are rotated. Offensive lines, they don't really rotate, you know? Every once in a while you see something like that. So I think it's more important to have your starters for your offensive line than your defensive line, because guys are going to play a lot, right? Guys are going to play a ton on that defensive line, because that's the one thing Spags does, rotates those guys in to keep them fresh. And I got to be honest with you, the first month or two of this season is going to be hot. So a lot of these guys should probably be ready to play on that defensive line.
Yeah, I guess there's maybe a battle for our Mason Thomas, but I imagine he's that other starting
edge. Who is he battling?
Ours.
FAU?
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting that you said that, because I was not expecting you to say that, but he's had a pretty good camp. Yeah,
there's only four edges on the team.
He's had a pretty good camp.
Five if you count Ogba. Yeah.
He's going to be more of a practice squad guy, kind of a veteran leader, just have him in here at camp. I think that's kind of the way they're looking at, you know, Emmanuel Ogba at this point in time. But that's interesting. FAU. I'd love to see him play well, man. I really would.
He's going to have to play a lot.
I'd love to see him play well, and not just in this preseason game, but just in general.
Yeah, which is why I'm surprised on the Ogba thing. I imagine at some point he's on the active roster. They always carry five, usually six edges. Right now there are four.
Yeah. Yeah. So you get Ogba. He's going to, again, practice squad to start, and then obviously we'll see where he is. But the practice squad is now so different since COVID. Now it's been 7 years, my God, 6 years since COVID. But we've got the ability now just to have a big time practice squad, 13 to 15 dudes, and constantly bring them up. And so being on the practice squad isn't like you're being buried anymore. You know, you got the opportunity to play that week.
So Saturday, I don't know, you said you got a dinner to go to late that night, but you know, you'll be able to get out of there by 4 o'clock, because after about, I don't want to say five.
Oh, we're not going to the game, but
watching the game.
Yeah, the first half.
Yeah.
Which is like 3
o'clock. Yeah. So you get out of there by about 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Mac, you'll watch the game. Are you going to have any like snacks, play bingo with announcers, what they have, the cliche sayings? Because I'll probably be sitting there just enjoying
pizza
and the cheese as I finish one to
pizza.
Four slices of that. But I think the number one thing that we always hear, look at how great that there's going to be a wide receiver comparison to Cyrus Allen. The first play he makes, that's what I would say would be my ultimate bingo piece on a card for the announcers.
Oh, I got a lot of bingo pieces on this card for the announcers. We're going to start with the mention of the new stadium, right? Like that gets mentioned in the game, right? We get pictures, renderings of the new stadium, right?
Okay.
That's going to be on the bingo card.
Pizza.
They're going to interview Clark in this game. I guarantee you that. He's going to talk about how bad last season was, how they want to move on from last season.
There's only one other preseason game, right? They play the first and the third, or they only play one?
At home, you mean?
At home.
Yeah, at home. Yeah,
but they still, like, everybody's still
going. Sure.
But yeah, this is the first home. Yeah, third preseason game is home as well. So Clark will be on there. He's going to talk about how disappointing last season was. It's no longer a focus. We've moved on. Last year was an aberration. We don't expect anything like that anymore, you know, with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid in Chiefs Kingdom. They'll talk about the Mahomes injury. They'll do a flashback to when the injury happened. They'll talk about the healing process. We'll see workout videos from Patrick Mahomes getting better. They'll hype up all the rookies. They'll discuss the addition of Chad O'Shea. And now how his experience is going to be invaluable for these young wide receivers. They'll discuss the addition of K-9 and how he's going to help balance the offense. Eric Bieniemy's return and how his holding accountable guys was missed. That will be on your bingo card in that game. And that gets us through the opening segment of that show.
So somebody says Mahomes ACL should be the free space.
Yeah.
And then someone says...
Heat.
Someone says also... The best part about bingo is now you only need four spaces in a row.
B-I-N-G. Bing.
Yeah.
Bing.
Mac, what would be your number Bink. One? What would be your number one space?
What's on there? Yeah. What did I leave off the bingo card of things we're going to discuss in this game on Saturday?
Swift wedding.
Yeah, that's a good one. The wedding, that's a good one.
Yeah, EB. That's I don't know if you mentioned EB.
You did not.
I did.
Oh, you did mention EB. I heard you say Chad O'Shea.
Yeah, I said Bieniemy's back.
Okay. Yeah, Bieniemy's back. Yeah, you did say that. Yeah, that'll be a big one. Yeah. I think that'll lead.
Holding the, you think that's the lead? See, I think Mahomes
is the lead, but I think it's, yeah, Mahomes obviously is the lead, but EB is shortly after that. Yeah.
So Clark comes on. They're going to talk to him about a couple of things. They'll talk, obviously, we said about last season and this season. They'll talk about the stadium with Clark. They'll talk about Mahomes' knee. With Clark Hunt. They'll talk about Andy Reid, obviously, with Clark Hunt. What else will they talk about with Clark Hunt? What else do we have going on right now?
Will they ask anything about Rashee Rice?
What about him?
How he looks, how he's changed,
You talking to Clark, you mean?
Yeah, from an ownership standpoint, how you deal with a player like that.
Probably not on the state-run broadcast.
I would assume not. Yeah. Just asking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did we miss anything defensively?
Nah.
Special teams-wise, Butker's coming off a bad season.
Yeah.
Got to get back to, you know, being able to kick field goals.
Yeah, I guess that's another thing to watch for the game, not necessarily on the bingo card. But, yeah, I mean, he'll be kicking.
I bet you this is a deep cut before we go to break about a bingo card. I bet there's a deep cut about Matt Araiza's punting distance and touchbacks.
Ooh, okay.
Because punters play, man. Like, he ain't got nobody else.
Yep.
And Matt Araiza got some of his touchbacks minimized last year, wants to get better this year. I bet there's some talk about Matt Araiza.
Matt Araiza's punting. Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah.
Pizza.
And that's what we get to enjoy while we watch. I can't get enough of that drop. I'm sorry. Continue to bring in your Jaden Daniels jokes. But first, the first power rankings of the year. Where are the Chiefs? Don't worry. We'll tell you next on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Monsieur Delane, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Happy anniversary, Drew Nixon, at this station, celebrating 3 years today.
Happy anniversary, Drew.
And myself.
3 years today?
11.
Today, huh?
11 years ago, I started in this building, and it still looks the same.
It does, and it kind of smells the same, too. It stinks out there today, I'm not going to lie. Stinky. Like, I walked out there today, and just now, I'm like, something reeks.
Somebody mentioned earlier when we played that BBL Stinky drop that once we play it, his daughter, who is 6, sings it for the next 10 minutes. Thank you, guys.
I love that, yeah. I just saw something on X, formerly Twitter. Are we still doing that, formerly Twitter? Or are we just Twitter or X? Like, everybody kind of knows
Twitter.
That. And that's Twitter now? Okay, so
forever, it's Twitter.
Forever Twitter. That's the old man take there, too.
Is it Sandstone?
It is Sandstone, yes.
Is it Sprint Center?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it always Arrowhead?
It is.
It still is.
It still is, yeah. So still Twitter then? Okay, so we'll go with Twitter. And it was a shot of people on the coast of Italy at a concert at 5:15 in the morning. Would you go to a concert that early? Would you like to go to a concert that early? Because I always think from our perspective, I'm like, nobody ever does anything in reverse. Like a 5:15 concert in the morning, I'd be up for that.
depends on who's playing.
It looked like it was like...
I wouldn't want to be like asleep at the wheel.
No, but like Mozart-type stuff. Classical music what kind of it looked like. And like they're on the beach and everybody's kind of sitting back. Beautiful setting. 5:15 in the morning. Packed. I'm like, I would love to do something like that at 5 o'clock in the morning. You know? How many people could you get at Sprint Center if Garth Brooks said he's playing at 5:15 a.m.? I bet it sells out.
Oh, for sure.
Right?
For sure. Garth will sell at any show he puts
any
out.
Any show, anytime, anywhere, right?
He's coming to town, I think. He's doing that stadium tour, or he's doing the arena tour. Mm-hmm. I assume he's going to come to T-Mobile.
I would imagine, yeah.
I'll be there. Somebody says,
who was the music fest I'm in?
Yeah, I mean, if Angels and Airways played at 5:15, he'd be there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd wake up and go.
Like, Tom DeLonge and Angels and Airways playing on the beach? Like, take me, aliens. Now. Take me to bed or lose me forever, Maverick. Bob, the concert was actually at 4:15 in the morning, he said.
4:14. Mac got mad there. He thought we were giving a thanks coach there for a second, right?
Yeah.
4:15.
It just doesn't stop.
No,
man.
It doesn't. It's great. It's going to go all year.
Someone says it's always Oklahoma Joe's, too, not just Joe's.
Yeah. I get that.
I can see that. Somebody says 25 years stay at their job. Good.
Wow.
Nice.
Good.
Yeah. I can't believe that.
Damn. Nice.
A 3 p.m. concert will be great. Over by 8 p.m. I'm 36. So it checks out.
Sign me up.
Would you go to a 3 p.m. concert this Saturday at Arrowhead?
No.
Okay.
No. I've been doing the Billy Joel one a couple of years ago and Stevie Nicks, bro. That was brutal. And that was at night. Like it was just awful.
I went to a Kenny Chesney concert one year. I want to say it was like 2014.
How hot was it?
I mean, well, they had the news, the crews were out there, mm-hmm. and they had the temperature gauge on the asphalt for the tailgate. It was like 110. Mm-hmm. Now, we were in a tent with shades, so it was only 104.
Oh, that's good.
So big difference. But it was hot, dude. I mean, it's the first time in my life that I drank so many beers that I was sober. Because I didn't pee once. Until the very end of the concert, because I was just sweating.
Oh yeah,
and I was like, man, I don't know if I want to. I want to do that. Dusty, it's Goose take me to bed now. Hey, Kelly says it too to Maverick when he's on the when he's got her on the back of the bike. So it both can be right. Started my business 10 years ago today. Congratulations, you have a business that lasted a decade. You have made it.
Yep.
25 years now owning
shout
a company.
Out your business.
Yeah, True Green Thumb. Same. There 25 years owning our company.
Nice.
So big anniversaries today.
Nice.
Yeah. So, moving forward into the season, these will change throughout the year, but currently the Chiefs rank 13th in the power rankings, according to Pro Football Talk. It says, 13th, Chiefs, don't sleep on Patrick Mahomes, ever.
That's the best line of the preseason right there.
Not even Carter Jensen can sleep on Patrick Mahomes. We'll go from 13 up. 12 are the Niners. Says they're relying on too many older players to stay healthy.
Yeah.
Okay. Chargers, can they reach their full potential under Jim Harbaugh? Ravens are 10th. After 18 years of John Harbaugh, there will be plenty of unknowns. Number 9, Jaguars. Sorry, Liam. We know your team is good. Okay. Eagles, they're 8th. Will the departure of A.J. Brown provide a boost to the functionality of the offense? Obviously, they got Malachi Lemon as a wide receiver, right?
Yeah, Mekhi Lemon.
And him and Smith are now going to be the 1 and 2.
Yep.
Saquon Barkley, obviously yesterday, I don't know why I say obviously, but yesterday I saw a little bit of an injury.
A little bit of an injury. Shocking, right? Saquon.
The Patriots come in 7th. The schedule has more powerhouses than cream puffs this year.
Yeah.
Interesting word there. 6, the Bears, year 2 of the Ben Johnson-Caleb Williams partnership should yield big benefits. As we've heard Ben Johnson say, they want to be known as the greatest offense to ever touch the gridiron, taking over that Broncos team of 2015, I believe.
Yeah.
Yep. When Peyton Manning was just, we should have known week 1 when he threw, 6 touchdowns or something like that. Everybody had 2. It was like Demaryius Thomas, Julius Thomas, Wes Welker. They all had 2 touchdowns. It's like, okay, this is a problem. Number five, the Bills. Has there ever been more pressure on a first-year coach to get the conference championship? No is the answer.
That's an interesting one. A first-year coach with more pressure than Joe Brady in NFL history. I'm trying to think. I don't know that who's walked into a better situation than what Joe Brady's walked into in NFL history. Like, guys don't leave good jobs, right? And if you're doing good, you don't normally get fired from your job. So this is kind of, that's an interesting take right there.
Number four is the Broncos. Number three is the Texans. Number two is the Rams. And number one is the Seahawks. The champs always get dibs at the top spot. This year, the margin is as close as it's ever been. As the Rams two, just because they didn't win the Super Bowl is what it would appear. But 13th. Can only go up from there.
Yeah, I think that's a fair ranking right now for where the Chiefs are. I think, you know, at the end of the year, obviously you don't want to be
none
in
of those
13th
teams
you
mentioned
place.
Ahead of them. You would put them above.
Niner, I put them Niners? Above Niners. The Niners. I put them above Baltimore. You know, for right now,
Jags.
I would put them above Jacksonville for right now. Sure, yeah, absolutely.
So you'd have them as a top 10 team,
probably. Yeah. But I think 13 is fair from the outside looking in. I think 13 is kind of a fair ranking, and we know that they're going to move up fast. They put on a performance Monday night against the Broncos, guys. They're going to be in the top five of everybody's power rankings.
They'll
everybody's
going yeah.
The whole league will be on tilt on Tuesday morning if the Chiefs go out there and beat the Broncos the way that they can.
If they lose.
If they lose to what? Everybody will be doing the I told you so's. Yeah, but I mean, we'll write off Mahomes after week one. I guarantee it. Not we, but, you know, the national media, everybody, how we do, the overreactions and all that kind of stuff, they will start writing off Patrick Mahomes.
Depending on the context.
Yes, but it is the low-hanging fruit. It's easy. Mahomes would have come back in other years, you know, in a game like, you know how it is. People want Patrick Mahomes to fail for whatever reason. So they always spin it towards the quarterback. But I think right now with 13th, that's fair. Put on a great show on that Monday night opener, and everybody will skyrocket Patrick Mahomes. But the never doubt Mahomes ever, I love that. I love that line by Mike Florio right
there. Don't sleep on Mahomes, ever.
Ever. Yeah. Don't sleep on Patrick Mahomes, ever. Never, ever, ever sleep on Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, this list is obviously based on continuity. They go based on what's happened in the past, which isn't necessarily the worst way to always do it. But, I mean, just because the Broncos have a bunch of continuity and a bunch of the same guys in their team doesn't mean that's good. I mean, especially on the defensive side, defenses are so volatile. Not that I don't think that pass rush will be great. But you can't just go, like offenses, you go, oh, yeah, we kept the band back together. Okay, a lot of the time that means, okay, you'll be productive. On defense, it is very volatile, and it takes a lot of other things other than keeping the same guys. I'd say the same thing for the Cowboys. They have them at 17. If it's once again Super Bowl or bust, the last 30 years, tell us which way it'll go. What a stupid way to evaluate a team. I don't care about the last 30 years.
Yeah.
I don't care about the narrative of the Cowboys.
But I think what he's saying is that every year it's Super Bowl or bust for the Cowboys.
Yeah, but if the last 30 years tell us which way it'll go, I don't want to care about what the way it'll go from the last 30 years. I care about this year. This team's much, much different. I'd have them in the top half of the league for sure.
I'm high on Dallas this year.
Very high on Dallas. We talked about them yesterday, Dusty. You mentioned them, and you mentioned they'll be able to score, but their defense will struggle like it has in the past. I think their defense will actually be a big strength, which is what has waned. They've been top five offense the last 5 years in the NFL. The defense has struggled. They've made, I mean, I don't want to say the Micah Parsons trade was a success, but
we don't know that
damn,
yet,
dude,
but it's trending in the right direction.
If you told me this is what they were going to get for him, they did well.
Yeah, they went 1-2 picks, defense.
Yep.
Well, that's where the league is going. I mean, what did the Chiefs do? One in their first two picks, first eight picks, defense. I think this league is kind of switching back now. You're getting your athletes now on the defensive side as much as you are on the offensive side. 5 years ago, we never had defensive linemen that looked like Adonis's.
I think out of seeing those like rankings, I think the three things that have my mind spinning on what I will watch kind of closely outside of the Kansas City realm is what is New England going to do with a tougher schedule? Because that was the narrative last year. New England's schedule was soft, and they took advantage of it. You play who you play, but now you're going to play a first-place schedule. You're going to play good teams. Can you come back after losing in a Super Bowl and move forward?
Hard to do.
That's tough. What are the Ravens going to look like? Now, I know that their coach is defensive-minded, and their defense struggled, and they have a lot of talent on defense. And Lamar Jackson, you know, not the same Lamar he was 4 years ago. Help. None of us in this room are the same person we were 4 years ago. But last year, Lamar Jackson, I'm not going to run as much, which is interesting to think about that because it kind of caused him to have some ugly sacks where it's like, no, still use one of your great weapons in your legs. You're not out here to prove anything to anybody. You won the MVP twice. You need to get to the AFC Championship game and prove that you can carry this team now as you are the leader. Now, he's got a big year this year. This is technically a contract year for Lamar Jackson. They're not going to do any of the discussions this year. They're waiting. So now he can go out there and say, okay, do I get my third contract with the Ravens? Or is my time been here and now it's time to, you know, move on? I don't know. consensus would tell me this is the last time we see Lamar Jackson as a Baltimore Raven. I don't know if they pay him.
I don't hate that.
I don't know if they pay him the money that he may desire if he does have a solid year this year, in a year where a lot of people have the Ravens being a pretty good team. So that's another thing I'm watching.
The Lamar thing is very interesting to me, because if he does go out there and doesn't play well and wants to move on, Baltimore may allow him to move on at this point in time too. And maybe he doesn't, you know, get along with the new head coach. I don't know, you know, what the situation is there with him, but we'll have to see it. No, it's a big year. That's an interesting point for Lamar Jackson. I think he could, of the big four, Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, and Lamar, I think he's number one on the list. He could go somewhere else. Burrow's a close two where he could go somewhere else too. Allen's a close two as well. I think all three of those guys end up somewhere else. I think Patrick Mahomes, of those four, is the only one who stays with Kansas, with his team the entire time.
The Bills do not let Allen go.
No.
No way.
Well, that's what we said about the Patriots too. You know, well, no way they're going to let Tom
Brady go. Talking by the time he's 40 years old.
Yeah, that would be when it would happen.
Yeah. No, I'm talking entire career. I think all three of those guys do end up somewhere else and play somewhere else. I don't think Mahomes does. Now, he could. I mean, hell, Montana, Brady, everybody goes somewhere else at the end of their career. Mm. But I think Lamar goes first. I think Burrow goes second. Allen goes third to another team.
Because I think I had to take, what was it, about a month ago, I said Patrick Mahomes never plays anywhere but Kansas City.
Yep, which would be rare.
And then the third thing that I'll watch, the one score games of Denver, because 2 years ago, that was the Chiefs thing. Well, they went 11-1 in one score games. Can they keep that up? And then next year they didn't. Denver did that last year. Can Denver do that this year? So maybe a minute thing that I'll look at is how electric the offense could possibly look in LA for the Chargers, not the Rams. I know what the Rams offense is. One of the top quarterbacks, one of the top wide receivers. Now a suspension could be looming for Puka Nacua. As we get into that a little bit more later on in the side, because there's more trouble for one of the worst offseasons a player could have in the NFL. But you move on from where they rank power rankings to where they rank in the offensive line. Looks like the Chiefs come out at 16th on offensive line, preseason offensive line consensus ranks. So they just take a bunch of, you know, different names and what they think and where the Chiefs lie. And the median number is the Chiefs have the 16th best offensive line heading into the season. Again, we can sit here and be homers and say, yeah, Josh Simmons is a wall. Kingsley Suamati is a, you know, not a failed left tackle pick, but a rejuvenated pick at left guard. We know what Creed is. Trey Smith is starting to give me some questions that I don't like. Kling mentioned it, that, you know, it's the hip and he's got, you know, some issues there. And it's, you know, you got to, you know, get some rehab on that. That's scary to me. And then we've had the right tackle discussion of, is it Benson? Is it Jalen Moore? We all agree it's probably going to be Jalen Moore.
Oh, I would say Benson.
You think Benson gets the nod starting day one on Monday Night Football?
Starting week one, I think it's Khalil Benson, because he's been starting with the ones in training camp because he's looked really, really good.
Yeah. Also, he could be just getting reps with the ones, and, you know, however you want to look at it.
We got to take something from training camp. I mean, something has to matter, and I'm gonna say that matters.
Well, we'll see. I mean, we'll see if they decide to go with an undrafted free agent at right tackle. If he earns the job, then he earned the job. Okay, we don't place people in positions because we paid them. Now, some people do, and it happens sometimes. And sometimes you don't have a choice. You got to play these guys because you paid them. But in a situation like this, where there seems to be an open battle, if Khalil Benson is really that guy, they're probably looking at him going, how the hell did this guy not get drafted? Like looking at him in every rep in practice, like, damn, we got lucky with this guy. We're not got lucky. I hate saying that. They did their job. They scouted these players. They knew where they were. They worked out better than any other team to go get a guy like this. Because I guarantee you, every team in the league right now would want an offensive lineman that was an undrafted free agent become a starter. Think of all the dough you save.
Who's more impactful on their team as a free agent signing, Jalen Waddle or Kenneth Walker?
I'd say Ken Walker.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think Ken Walker is one of the most impactful free agents that was signed in the NFL this offseason because of the ability to change your entire identity.
Waddle's huge, though, for them. Massive.
He's a solid number two. Yeah. They didn't have that last year.
He might be their number one. We'll see.
Over Cortland?
We'll see.
Obviously, different wide receivers.
Yep.
But I thought that was interesting to think about, like, additions made in the offseason. Obviously, the Raiders draft Mendoza. They revamp their offensive line. They get back Max Crosby. The Chargers go and get Josh McDaniel, or Mike McDaniel, from being fired in Miami. What can they do with that offense with him? Because he said, in fantasy football, don't pick one running back. We're going to give everybody the ball. I think Amari Hampton's going to be the guy.
He'll still be the guy.
Right? Like, I think you could look at Amari Hampton's role as, like, what Achane did in Miami. And, yes, there will be, what's his name, Vitell, is that the backup?
Yeah, Kamani Vidal.
Yeah, I think he'll be a lot like Raheem Mostert, where he pisses a lot of people off, where you've got Amari Hampton, 12 carries, 100 yards, no touchdowns.
Vidal. I think it might be Keaton Mitchell, too.
Keaton Mitchell's in there as well. They Keaton got a Mitchell. Three-man backfield there.
Yep.
And then the Chiefs. What impact Ken Walker's going to have on this team, let alone the offensive line that we're talking about and a guy that we shouldn't sleep on, Patrick Mahomes, who now has an absolute bell cow to running back.
Yeah, he's lucky that he's got this guy now, finally. At the right time in his career, they've kind of revamped that offense to, you know, to help Patrick Mahomes. I think K-9 helps this offense more than any other addition on any other team, you know, this year, save a quarterback, obviously. But it's just not just him. His presence changing the dynamic of this offense is going to be very interesting to watch.
Yeah, when you look at the offensive line rankings, something that really speaks out to me is the discrepancy.
No one has the discrepancy
that the Chiefs do. Maybe the Saints, you got low as 27, high as 7 for the Saints. But three different conglomerates, three different people, however you want to say it, depending on who it was, ranked them 8th. And then you've got 4, 5 that ranked them in the 20s, as low as 25th ranked offensive line. People don't know what they're going to see yet.
No, they really don't.
It's unknown right now.
And that's part of the reason why I think maybe the Chiefs aren't getting a lot of love, is because there are, for a lot of people, still unknowns out there, and they just don't know what they're going to see. And a lot of people probably think they just can't continue to keep this going, can they? Yes, they will continue to keep this going, because that's who they are. And so after the first couple of weeks, the ships will all right themselves, and everybody will be back to going, son of a gun, they did it again.
And to your point, Dusty, if Trey Smith is not there, then yeah, maybe they are in the 20s.
Yeah.
That would be bad.
It's not good.
Because then you're going to have really Jalen Moore most likely and playing Benson. Right guard, and then you have Khalil Benson. So now
you probably have Benson playing guard. You have Jalen Moore playing tackle.
Yeah, that's what probably what I would do.
That's what they'll do. Yeah. That's what I think they'll do, is what I'd say.
I'm trying to think, like, who can benefit more from this offensive line, Patrick Mahomes or Ken Walker?
Yeah, this is the best offensive line potentially that Ken Walker's played for.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
His offensive line, I don't know where they ranked last year when it came to best offensive lines in football, but you look at the stats that we just went over, and the Seahawks, I mean, they're kind of just right above the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how good the Chiefs' defense or offensive line was last year. And say however you want to look at their offensive line. Now, imagine that offensive line and being those linemen, looking at guys in front of you, knowing that you're passing every single time and knowing that you're screwed and your back is against the wall before the ball is even snapped because you didn't have a balanced offense. And they still did a fairly decent job last year. Now that you're going to have this balanced offense, I'm so excited to watch this offensive line finally get the opportunity to kind of go out there and be a legitimate offensive line.
And we can talk more about, you know, the defense and stuff like that, because somebody says, did you guys see that Jaden Daniels is now fighting the count on Sesame Street as he's trying to get rid of the number 5? Can't make it up. It's just great. Keep them coming. Coming up on the other side, the WWE or the WNBA, what's got more drama? We'll find out next on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Edmund Johnson, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
So, I don't know if my brain thinks it's garage time, but I had a thought. How can you replicate the Field of Dreams game into the NFL? Because there's not a lot of old NFL stadiums around, right? Like, there's
none. I mean,
I mean, Lambeau's probably the most iconic football field stadium.
And that's
in the
not
game.
Really old per
you
se. Like,
you
that's
have some
dreams.
Two teams play there.
But I mean, the only way I always thought you could maybe do something like that.
Leather helmets.
Right. Well, that would be great. You'd eliminate concussions. Nobody leading with their head anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I firmly believe that. You took helmets away from the NFL, concussions would be gone.
Look at rugby.
I mean, exactly. 100%. I mean, you never hear about concussions in
rugby. Sir, you bleed out of your ear. Give me a beer. I need to get back in there.
Yeah, because guys just aren't leading with their head. They got a deadly weapon on your head, for God's sakes. What was the question?
How can you replicate the Field of Dreams game into the NFL?
I think playing at college stadiums would have always been cool. Like seeing a game, I always thought the best way to do it was take two NFL teams, whoever they are, and find that college that's halfway in between. Like, for example, Chiefs and Cowboys play at OU, or Chiefs and Broncos play in Lincoln.
So that's the way.
Yeah, I think so. Or maybe Vikings and Packers play in Iowa or something like that. Iowa's the hotbed for every team that doesn't
have
a
call. Would you sell that game out?
Yeah.
100,000 seats?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Like, what if the Lions played at Michigan Stadium in a game?
Yeah, that'd be sick.
That would be kind of cool, right? Yeah. I think that would be kind of neat to see something, you know, like that, because obviously Michigan Stadium is the big house, so you could fit a lot more people. Probably 40,000 more people could go to that game than normally would go to a game at Ford Field. That's just my opinion on that. I always thought that would be kind of fun to do something like that. Like the Rams and Chargers could play an LA game, and maybe you play it at the Coliseum, or you do something, you know, at the Rose Bowl, you know, something like that. I think that's the way you do it. I don't know if there's a direct equivalent. What do you guys think?
I like the text lines option here.
Yeah.
Is do a Friday Night Lights edition on a Friday night and have two NFL teams play like in a historic high school stadium.
That would be cool.
I mean, it'd be somewhere in Texas or Oklahoma. Yeah.
Like you'd have to go to Midland and play out there because that's what it was based on, right? Mm-hmm. If you could get the Cowboys to go out there and say Phoenix, Arizona, kind of meet halfway, because that kind of is halfway between those two places, that would be kind of cool to do something like that and keep it at like at whatever Midland seats, 10,000 people, keep it at that level and really do something neat like that. Yeah, I think that would be kind of fun, actually. Because, you know, these high school stadiums in Texas now, guys, are insane. They're bigger than college stadiums
are. Just type in Odessa, Texas Football Stadium High School, and you'll be like, what?
What? That's high school?
What are the boosters out there doing oil?
Yeah. But it's not just, it's everyone. Look at the Dallas area. Every time they build a new high school, they build a stadium that's bigger than, you know, whatever district they are. You know, like Olathe, they build a new high school. I got to build my stadium bigger than the old Olathe. Like, come on, man. That's all it's about now. There, it's nuts with that high school football. So that's kind of a cool idea.
I like the high school thing. It had to be after the high school season's over, but you could do that at like the end of, you could do that at the beginning of December, right?
Yeah,
for
because,
sure. Yeah,
most, at least here, I think state championship games are like the weekend of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, uh-huh.
At least they used to be when Blue Springs was running the house.
Baby. I'm sure if an NFL team wanted to play though in a high school, they'd acquiesce at any time.
My buddy Travis just texted me and said, this is how preseason games should be played.
I agree with that, too. They used to do that. They used to play preseason games every once in a while at different places, right? Yeah. They had the American Bowl for a while that they did in Tokyo. But they also played, like, I think the Chiefs at one point did play in Norman at some point in time. You know, Arkansas would be kind of cool to have a game there. You know, maybe the Saints and Chiefs meet at Fayetteville and play a game there.
Those games, if it's preseason, may struggle to sell out. But
yeah, the preseason games, if you want to really hit, you got
to
do regular.
80 to 100,000 seats if you're going to a college stadium. That's a lot.
And you saw those preseason games last night. Yeah, there was nobody there.
Arrowhead won't sell out Saturday.
No, no. God, no. Well, maybe the tickets will be sold, but nobody's showing up, right? Yeah. So you're right, Mac. You have to do a regular season game. You can't roll in
there. Hey, let's go to the Chiefs game today. Homer Simpson's dad walks out, rocks right back in his house. Never mind.
Yeah, exactly.
99.
You're trying to grow the game. You don't send somebody the preseason, right? So, no, you'd have to do a regular season
game. I'm glad you said growing the game, because I'm going to let you and Mac have a conversation here about what's going on with the WNBA. There are issues. There are things going on right now that are they're letting things get out of hand, and they're not attacking things the way they should. Obviously, there's some people that will reference the flagrant foul against Sophie Cunningham, and then the player that committed the flagrant foul was kicked out of the game and then tweets in the locker room. There's the coach for the Indiana Fever that also is being highly scrutinized for the way that she is handling things. And then there's people that are like on your side, Bob, that say you have this superstar in Caitlin Clark. Why are you not exploiting her into a way that the NBA did Michael Jordan? Mm-hmm. And then Max side of the argument before you guys get into this, not an argument conversation, is that this league has more than Caitlin Clark. Embellish that. The league that Michael Jordan came into, yes, he was the solidified superstar. There was more. Bird, Magic, Thomas, all these guys, or Isaiah Thomas, all these guys were in that league. The thing is, nobody's on the same page, and it's messy.
And a lot of this was, you know, the same. When Jordan came, when Tiger came, when these new hot stars came into their league, the old guard didn't like them. And then in about 10 minutes, the old guard realized, I say 10 minutes, probably took about a year, the old guard realized, these new guys are bringing a lot of eyeballs, they're bringing a lot of money, they're bringing a lot of sponsors, they're making all of our lives better. We're rising up with everybody because of Michael Jordan, because of Tiger Woods. Those are the two in my lifetime that I can look at and say dramatically changed their sports. The NBA was a dead stick for the most part until Michael Jordan came in here. Their conference championships and NBA final games were played at 3 o'clock and they were on tape delay. Michael Jordan came in and he took the league by storm. They finally embraced Michael Jordan, and the league became better for it. Same thing with golf. And in the WNBA, I heard Boomer Esiason say this. It's a WWE, basically, is what this is. It's all about the storylines. I'm not going to watch a WNBA game. I don't care about the level of play in the WNBA. I'm not a basketball fan. But the storylines are what impacts everybody right now. And the storylines seemingly are all the time, for whatever reason, it all starts with anti-Caitlin Clark instead of loving up Caitlin Clark. The only person who ever forced WNBA teams to have to look for bigger arenas, forced a huge ESPN contract. Caitlin Clark is the WNBA, and for the casual fan like me, which I know I'm the majority of when it comes to the WNBA, you've got to embrace the person that hits the most households and people love the most, and they're just not doing that. And she continues to deliver television ratings, and her team continues to deliver television ratings and attendance that pale in comparison to anybody else out there. She's that dynamic, and they continue to not embrace her. And again, if this league wants to stay around, you can't continue to cannibalize yourself.
They put her on primetime just as much and more than anyone else. They do embrace her. She's third in attendance. It is not pale in comparison. The Indiana Fever have gone down in attendance the last 4 years. They have now 10 teams over 10,000 average attendance. Two years ago, that was six. Last year, that was seven. This game is growing. All around viewership is up 15%, not just in Caitlin Clark games. The viewership of the WNBA is up 15%. That's because the talent is better for the casual basketball viewer. You're not a casual basketball viewer. You're not a casual isn't even the right word for you. Also, when you compare Michael Jordan to Caitlin Clark to Tiger Woods, the one difference is
the blinds are closed on this one.
Exactly. Yeah. And that, so that, yeah, you're not really.
And they're probably never going to be open.
So that part, I don't really care about what you're going to watch, because you won't.
No, I'm not.
You barely watched the NBA Finals last year. It was the best NBA Finals we have in the last decade, right? So, and it was your team in it, right? And that's what it took. So that is not the measure of how this works. Also, with Caitlin Clark, she's the face of the league as far as drive and viewership is concerned. But the biggest difference is with Michael Jordan, with Tiger Woods, those were the best players. She is not the best player. So the acceptance from other players is a little bit different when you're talking about a person who's not the best
player. She may not be the best player, but she's the best damn thing that's ever happened to that league.
And that may be true, but now we've got other things in that league that are driving forces, and that's why other teams have...
But who? For me, from my standpoint, you're right. I'm not coming to the party.
It's not about you. It's about other people. But no, it's 15% viewership is up. Their ABC and ESPN games are now up 5%. That's not from just Caitlin Clark.
Well, there's also new ways of managing the ratings. The rating thing to me.
So
until
you're going to use ratings
this,
for when it's Caitlin Clark, but when it's someone else and
I said arena size. You forced the Washington Mystics to move into a bigger arena. The Atlanta Dream, the Las Vegas Aces, all these teams were playing in these bigger arenas. Not because of them, because Caitlin was coming to town and people wanted to see Caitlin Clark. She is the number one draw and attraction for the WNBA. She's the reason why you're saying these ratings or whatever are increasing. She brings everybody to the party. It's up to the rest of the league to get them to stay. Some people are staying, but they're not going to stay that long. They really are. It's not an interesting sport.
Completely disagree.
It's just not. The storylines are interesting.
Every number tells you opposite. The viewership has gone up the last 5 years. The attendance has gone up
Clark
the last
out
5 years.
Take Caitlin Clark out of this and see where it goes.
I mean, they're third in attendance for a reason.
Take Caitlin
They've gone
Clark
down
out
in attendance the last 2 years.
Well, you can only get so high. Eventually, you've already seen it. You know, the Chiefs aren't the number one team in attendance every year, and they've got the best player on planet Earth.
But other teams are growing. It's not just them decreasing. Other teams
are
growing.
We'll see
in
how
attendance.
This continues to grow. If the behavior continues like this, where everything is a fight, everything gets nasty, there's no leadership, you're having meetings.
Talk about leadership, yeah, completely agree. The leadership's bad.
And leadership should have stepped in and goes, guys, we're all embracing Caitlin Clark. She is great for the league. I don't care what you think about her, what your opinion is. But we need to, I'm not saying coddle. I'm saying just embrace. They're going out of their way to take Caitlin Clark out.
I don't think that's the case.
They're going the other teams. Oh. I mean, she gets beat up on all the time.
Yeah,
Sophie Cunningham
crazy.
Gets beat up on all the time.
That's crazy. Yeah, I disagree. Yeah, there's hard fouls all the time in the NBA. Yeah, you watch. Again, you don't watch, but Paige Bueckers gets beat up all the time. And no one says a word. No one cares. It's because it's Caitlin Clark. So
because she's the face of the league.
It's bad for her reputation as well. And I love that. And I you mentioned her not getting any love, not being promoted. I disagree. These last couple weeks have been great for her. Her lack of comments on everything has given me and a lot of other people more appreciation for her, because she's She's caring about what she cares about, which is basketball, a lot like what Michael Jordan would have done as well.
Yeah, no, I think it's great that she's not saying anything right now. I think it's wonderful. It's pissing people off that she's not saying anything.
Every metric points to the WNBA growing, and that's not Caitlin Clark. That Caitlin Clark's the part of that. She was the catalyst. She was the initial surge, but we're 3 years past that, and it's growing.
Okay, we'll see if it continues to grow, because I'm just not in on the WNBA. I think it's a very small piece of the pie that people are saying is growing. And again, with the TV ratings, Nielsen keeps changing everything. And even people with the NFL now are going, all right, you know, let's hang on a second here till we get this rectified and how all of this truly does match up. Because I'm sure you can find TV ratings and attendance ratings that fit any sort of argument that you want to make. But the WNBA is growing, and it's where it is because of Caitlin Clark. If she never came on the scene, we're not talking ever about the WNBA.
Pizza.
And that ends our debate there on the WNBA. Good stuff, guys. I always think that's fun to let you guys go at it like that because it's interesting.
Thanks, Seth,
of course, absolutely. That's what the show's about, trying to get people more involved. You know, look, they brought Dusty Likens in this show, and ratings would tell you that I'm Caitlin Clark.
Men's
I'm
wieners.
Kidding. I'm not that arrogant.
We'll the FM will tell you that.
That's exactly
FM is
right.
Caitlin Clark.
That's right. Coming up, we'll get back into what the Field of Dreams was last night, and we'll talk more about this Kansas City Chiefs game on Saturday at 3 o'clock at Arrowhead Stadium here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Noah Williams, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan.